The epistle for the 12th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians, the third chapter. Brethren, such confidence we have through Christ towards God, not that we are sufficient to think anything of ourselves as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who hath made us fit ministers of the New Testament, not in the letter, but in the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit quickeneth. Now if the ministration of death, engraven with letters upon stones, was so glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses, for the glory of his countenance, which is made void, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather in glory? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more the ministration of justice aboundeth in glory. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 10. At that time Jesus said to his disciples, "Blessed are the eyes that see the things which you see. For I say to you that many prophets and kings have desired to see the things that you see and have not seen them, and to hear the things that you hear and have not heard them. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up tempting him, saying, 'Master, what must I do to possess eternal life?' But he said to him, 'What is written in the law? How readest thou?' He answering said, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, with thy whole soul, and with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself.' And he said to him, 'Thou hast answered rightly. This do, and thou shalt live.' But he, willing to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' And Jesus answering said, 'A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers, who also stripped him, and having wounded him, went away, leaving him half dead. And it chanced that a priest went down the same way, and seeing him, passed by. In like manner also a Levite, when he was near the place and saw him, passed by. But a certain Samaritan, being on his journey, came near, and seeing him, was moved with compassion, and going up to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and setting him upon his own beast, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 pence and gave to the host and said, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou shalt spend over and above, I at my return will repay thee.' Which of these three, in thy opinion, was neighbor to him that fell among robbers?" And he said, "He that showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "Go and do thou in like manner." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. He hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his justice remaineth forever. These are words taken from the epistle for the feast of St. Lawrence. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. As you remember from your catechism, the reason we have pictures, statues, images is to put us in mind of the virtues that were practiced by our Lord, our Lady, and the saints, to be a good example to us and to remind us of how we are to practice those virtues in our own life. And so here in our chapel, we have a beautiful stained glass window here in the sanctuary of St. Lawrence, right above us here. And I would like to then speak to you today about St. Lawrence and learn from him the virtue of charity, especially charity and generosity towards others. That way, when we come into the chapel, into the house of prayer, we can see the stained glass window of St. Lawrence, and we can remember to practice the virtue of charity as we are reminded by his example. Now, as you know, St. Lawrence was the archdeacon of the Church of Rome. He was in charge of the financial matters, so to speak, that is, making sure that the poor had food that was necessary for them, that they had goods that were able to help them stay alive so that they could practice their Catholic faith better, especially during the times of persecution. And St. Lawrence, we know, did this with the greatest honesty. He did this in a way that made him the glory of the church in Rome during his time. He was not like those who had been before our Lord the money changers in the temple who had sought to make personal gain and financial gain out of their offices, but rather he really saw to it that the people were taken care of, that those who were crippled or lame received what they needed as far as food and money, and that those who could provide for others were asked to do so. And he made sure that he did all of this with the greatest economy. Now, being in charge of the money matters, though, it came to the attention of the emperor that Lawrence must be in charge of great riches, that he must have great store of wealth, for he was keeping these Christians alive, well-fed, and taken care of. Well, this was in the year 258, when for the defense of the faith and for his poor and unfortunate, that he came under the suspicion of the emperor. He began to prove, though, his great love for God and his great fortitude at the events of the martyrdom of Pope Sixtus II. On this day of the martyrdom, Lawrence was summoned before the prefect of Rome, Cornelius Secularius. And since the Pope was martyred, the prefect demanded of Lawrence all of the goods, the precious treasures of the church. In a torrent of calumnies and lies, the prefect claimed that the church had stolen precious treasures. She had tortured her followers into giving up all that they possessed to the church, so that her rulers could glory in the gold, the jewels, and the treasures. Well, in the face of such calumnies and lies, St. Lawrence did not lose his composure. In the face of such false accusations, he only asked for a few days to compile all of the church's riches. Well, this filled the prefect with joy because he was not used to Christians answering in this way. He had just recently killed the Pope, and he thought that now all of the Pope's possessions would come to him, since Lawrence said he would assemble them in a couple days. Well, St. Lawrence did go about assembling the greatest treasures of the church. That was those who were pure and fervent of heart, the beggars, the cripples, the blind, and the lame. St. Lawrence brought together a host of 1,500 of the most unfortunate citizens of Rome, but all who had sanctifying grace in their hearts and in their souls. St. Lawrence knew this crowd very well, for he had dedicated his life to helping them. And so, on the appointed day, he brought the prefect from his place over by the Senate to the judgment hall that sat between the Senate, right at the end of the Forum, and right before you get to the Colosseum in Rome. And to this day, my dear friends, even though most of the Forum is in ruins and rubble, even though the Senate building is now nothing glorious to look at, you can still see to this day, almost perfectly intact, that courthouse which stands high above the rest of the ruins and this massive staircase leading to it. And it was on that staircase that St. Lawrence had brought together those 1,500 of the church's greatest treasures. "Come and admire the incomparable riches of the sanctuary of God," he said. "If you seek wealth, know the brightness of the gold of Christ, who is their light, and the human race being redeemed by him, these are the sons of light. Behold all of our riches. They will beautify the city of Romulus. They will increase the emperor's treasures and enrich you yourself if you take to heart their cause." So St. Lawrence completely flipped it on the prefect. He told the prefect, if you want to have the same treasures of the church, if you want to have the same glory that the Catholic Church has, then you should begin to provide for these unfortunates as well. You should take from the gold and the money and the treasures that you have at your disposal, things that will corrupt and go away, and give to these poor unfortunates. Well, of course, the prefect was horrified by this mass of humanity, and he unleashed a fury of terror against the brave Archdeacon Lawrence. Pope St. Damasus tells us that Lawrence triumphed over blows, torture, torments, and chains. And eventually, the well-known story about him, he died on the gridiron. He was being burned all on one side of his body as he cried out from the gridiron in a sense of humor, "This side is well roasted, turn me on the other." My dear friends, in our lives, we have many opportunities to show charity and concern for those who are less fortunate than we are. In our lives, then, we must be on guard to follow the example of St. Lawrence, not only in taking care of keeping the spark of sanctifying grace alive in our own souls, but also seeing how we can help others to know, love, and serve God. And if this is most easily done by providing for them with material needs, then we should look to how we can do that as well. There is always someone in our lives who has a harder or heavier cross to bear than we do. The overwhelming majority of men today are far less spiritually fortunate than we are. So many in the world do not have the true Mass in their lives to fortify them with the graces that they need for their daily life. So many people who we come across, even some of our friends, family members, and closest acquaintances, do not have the gift of the sacraments to help them to persevere in knowing, loving, and serving God. For most of the world, they don't even have a daily rosary to pray to help them through this valley of tears. And so, realizing how blessed we have been by God, that we are very similar to the situation that St. Lawrence found himself in, to be highly blessed, yet called upon to help others, let us at the very least pray for souls each and every day. If we have a family member or a friend who does not yet practice the Catholic faith, or who has fallen away, in our charity we must pray and sacrifice for them, that one day they come to receive all the graces that come to an upstanding Catholic. If there is a Catholic we know who does not practice his faith as he should, or worse, gives a bad example to others, strive to at least be a good example to him and to show him what it means to work out the will of God in your daily life. And if in addition to prayers and sacrifice, we know one who needs some temporal assistance, let us remember that even though St. Lawrence had very little money and worldly means at his disposal, he did give even of this for those who were in need when it would help them to practice their religion better. And if there is a struggling friend or neighbor who we can help monetarily or in a material way, without, of course, causing ourselves any great detriment, then let us be like St. Lawrence and help them in this way too. He is a most remarkable saint, my dear friends, and we know that from the way that the Church has honored him down through the ages. You know, in Rome, as I mentioned, there's that staircase, the tribute to his honor and his charity, which still stands to this day. But also, on the Church's part, there are five major basilicas in Rome, five places where the Pope alone has the ability and the honor to offer Mass at the main altar. Now, these are dedicated to our Lord, our Lady, Saints Peter and Paul. But the fifth basilica, the fifth highest ranking church you can think of it in the world today, is dedicated to St. Lawrence. And in the canon of the Mass, as we pray and mention the names of the apostles, of the five most prominent popes of the early church, and of the seven great pillars of the Church, right there in the canon of the Mass, those most sacred prayers that have been unchanged for centuries, we see again the name of Lawrence, a saint who the Church puts before our eyes to make sure that we pray to him for help and grace to learn from his example of charity. And so if the Church honors his memory in the canon of her Mass, with his own basilica in Rome, Let us too honor his memory by being charitable towards our neighbor throughout our lives. May Almighty God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.